thank you guys for being here. I think I come across your work and what you're doing in the world, and you're doing it together as like a really conscious couple. And I was very inspired. And yeah, thank you for what you're doing and how you're showing up in the world and what you're creating. Can you tell us like more about your journey and about what your soul's mission is?
Yes. Thank you so much. It's funny because we have been wanting to speak out about, you know, our unified ways of doing this world for some time, and didn't feel like right yet until we have a child. And it's funny because a lot of people, you know, talk about how everything gets changed when that happens. And so we were like, okay, let's just, you know, fully dive in until we feel truly ready, like we've been through all these different cycles. And so, you know, thank you for allowing this opportunity and time. And I think, you know, our mission is to unify the world one person at a time through the tools that we teach and retreats, workshops, immersive experiences. And essentially, we've been having major breakthroughs with people all around the world because people are craving love. People are craving the true meaning of love. And I think that human connection is time to bring it back.
I love it. How did you find one another? Tell me your love story.
It's funny. I told him, I was like, so how do you want me to like tell it? You know, because like, I think that's always a question if you go on a relationship podcast that you're likely going to get asked. But we kind of have, everything's all like dandy now, but we definitely had a lot of turbulence in the beginning. Like, it was definitely divine intervention, I think, for us. It happened. I was working as a fitness coach. So I was a fitness instructor at a boutique fitness called Orange Theory Fitness. And, I had been really called to work with people and change people's thoughts while they were kind of in that flow state. I was really inspired to use my voice, use my life experiences. And so my life had led me to there. And, this guy, he ended up being the owner of the Orange Theory that I was working at. But when I started there, he was off touring the world doing other things. And so I didn't even know he existed. And I had heard about him a few times through people, and they thought, oh, you know, you would really like him, blah, blah, blah. But it kind of was in passing. And then one day we got like news that the owner was coming back, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, you have to meet him. You have to meet him. You would love him. And yeah, I think he likes to do this thing called tribal leadership. So he sat down with everybody in the company and, you know, made sure everyone was being the best use in their role. And so he like literally met with everyone except for me. Like for some reason, we kept like almost like rappelling in the beginning. Cause I think we were about to come into like a huge vortex of just like a magnet. And, yeah, when we ended up sitting down, he was like, so what do you want to do with your life? And I was also doing real estate at the time. And I said, you know, I hate real estate. I just want to help people full time. I want to do community events. I want to bring people together. And he said, you know, like, that's what I want to do too. And I didn't know he was already like doing events and, this kind of work before. I just hadn't like researched him or anything. And so he was like, well, why don't we create a company and, we'll start doing events. And so literally like the day we met, we created a company and we started hanging out every single day for this company. And I think
I love
we grew quite fond of each other. At the time, you know, so he was my like boss, right? Which so I felt very like weird about that. And then at the same time, he was going through a separation that wasn't complete. So there was a lot of like red flags, and it felt very like taboo, but we had just this synergy and like we wanted to be walking the same life path. And so it was just so easy for us to, we always used to say like, we just love being around. Like I don't want to leave because I just want to like be next to you. It wasn't like, you know, really anything at first other than we just really loved to be around each other. And you used to always tell me like, you recharge my batteries. Like I feel recharged when I'm around you. So it was like this cute little thing until like everyone started finding out that there was a cute little thing happening. And so, then COVID happened, luckily and unluckily. For us, it meant that we kind of, so it closed down all the fitness events and we kind of started a new business in Texas and everyone got locked down and we kind of like scurried off and figured out who we were without everybody else around. And I think it bloomed a really beautiful time for us to, you know, at the time, like both of us were going through a lot of, like we met each other at really lows in our life. So, there was a lot that like needed to be unpacked there too. And, but it was beautiful. We started off like really building a foundation on truth, and transparency. So I think that helped us a lot to this point.
You guys, what I love about your love story is you were both going through times of transition and change, and you were both open, vulnerable, and honest with one another during them times. And it brought you together. It brought you together, it sounds like, on your life purpose and enabled a deeper connection. And ultimately, we are lovable during all the different times in our lives. Many people think you can't meet your perfect match or your partner until you're fully healed or you're fully, you know, this performance element that we see in film, rather than just being the authentic expression of who you are.
Yeah, what's I think interesting is like you have this, I don't know if dogma is the right term for it, but you have this like preconceived idea of what relationship should look like. And for us, it was that healing was the part that was so important in the relationship with one another. Cause I think when we met, I mean, I was at the lowest, like bad, you know, going through divorce. I lost almost all my finances and within a few months of time, I woke up one day with all assets frozen. It was a really, really like a crazy process of like a washing machine of my life. Let's put it this way. Yeah. And then she still saw the light in me that I didn't even see at that time. And I think, and then vice versa, when she couldn't figure out like what she wants and where to go. And from that moment,
so I was born with a genetic hair condition. So my hair has always been super patchy and I wore extensions for a long time. And I was at that point where I knew like my extensions weren't holding anymore. So I knew there had to be a big transition. And I felt like I was hiding behind these extensions and that someone wouldn't love me for like, you know, who I was or be seen. And I think as a woman, we really put a lot of, a lot of weight on our beauty, as our worth. And I think for him as a man, he put a lot of weight on his finances or his power as worth. And I think that those are like really stigma things that we have in society. And yeah, in a way we triggered each other's truth, but in the most beautiful way as like, I see you as like who you are. And like, let's pull that person out because I want more of that, instead of like triggering it I feel like there are relationships that you're in where you're just triggered and like everything is bad. Everything is like fires, but ours was like, it was really like soft triggers that was like, hey, let's unlock this so that we can reach our highest potential, you know? And I think we were both at a point where that leaning into that truth felt really, really refreshing.
I love that. Yeah, like being fully seen for who you are and loved for who you are rather than what you have, not transactional love.
Exactly.
It's so much more deeper. And how can we have that, you know, divine union and soul connection if we're still having that with ourselves?
Totally, totally.
But ultimately, what's beautiful is you've done it together, right? so many people think these days you have to go out in the woods, sit down by yourself and learn how to love yourself. We're humans, we need one another. And you're like a beautiful example of that growing together beautifully.
Yeah, I think what's interesting, we're both Aquariuses and we both have this like wild and fun personalities inside. And so we used to accelerate each other, I think also in the other direction, you know, where we would have too much fun until we kind of like, shaved that off. But
I love it. Never too much fun. More fun, please.
Yeah, well, it was before we were still drinking, you know, and then like we would be traveling the world, right, with like this awe and wonder during COVID when everybody else wasn't traveling. And so we literally were on these planes with four people and going into these destinations because our business we created during COVID was related to COVID. And so we ended up traveling way more than we did, you know, before it even happened. And
So we were doing events, and then when COVID happened, we were like, oh my gosh, we can't do our events anymore. How do we not sit on the couch? How do we reopen our events? And we were like, well, if we get into testing, then we can test people at our events, and then we can like continue to do our events, right? We were like so naive, like because we didn't know what COVID was going to turn into, but. I mean, it ended up being a brilliant business move.
Yeah, it saved us. Like we went from like having every single business closed into being able to survive. And I think that's the level of like hardships can also bring opportunities in life. And I think we've always been really good at dancing in that positive mindset, right? Like there's literally no is never a question in our household, and it's always how do we grow with this together. And I think, you know, we've done so much work on our own before we met, but yet we were so in low when we met. But we knew that when you know, you hit the bottom, right, eventually. And I think that bottom was hit during, you know, that time. And then when we start going up, it got that much, you know, better and more awesome and more beautiful. And so when, you know, I had two kids before I was with Ferry. And so that was a big, you know, change for her because she had to become, you know, a half mom or whatever, however we call that.
I became Ferry is what I became.
Yeah, true.
That's how I became Ferry.
Yeah.
When we first started seeing each other, like his kids had met me like via work before. So they like had known of me. And so, there was kind of this awkward transition, right? Where they knew who I was, but then all of a sudden Tata had a girlfriend and it was like, I almost turned into this really like not so positive thing, right? And so we're like, how can we rebrand this so that it's like fun for them, you know? And so, in high school, my friends called me Fairy and I was like, why don't we just go? Cause like, also it's like, they're not going to call me mom, you know, that's so weird. So we were like, why don't they call me Fairy and I'll be Fairy Princess and it'll like, and I'll, you know, do all these fairy things and it'll be really fun for them. And so, yeah. Then Fairy became a thing and it stuck and it's, you know, forever stuck.
Then everybody else started calling her Fairy and then it was the, you know, it took out.
The rebirth.
Yeah.
Of me.
Oh, I love that. It's so beautiful. It's very creative and what a lovely thing to give your children and obviously honor the mother of, you know, your children as well by obviously going, okay, I'm giving them something else and adding, but I'm not taking from you. Did you find that transition hard with dealing with your ex-partner and, you know, being with someone else that had children, Fairy?
Yeah, it was really complicated in the beginning because like I said, nothing was really finalized. And so all three of us were in Hawaii to start And then when COVID happened, she decided to go to Colorado because she had like community there. And we were either going to stay in Hawaii or go to Texas. So I would say, went through a really hard transition of guilt. I think she went through a really hard transition of like, both of them went through, how is this going to happen? And we went through, how is this going to happen? And there was no, like, if we would have tried to figure it out logically then, there was no way we would have been able to come up with however we do it now, right? So it was, for us, it was really like taking one step at a time every day and just being like, if it's meant to be, if we're meant to be together, if this is meant to work, we just need to take steps towards what's important in our lives. And for him, that was being close to his kids or figuring out how to make it work while also figuring out how to support them while also being with me. So I think that was like really big for you. And for me, it was, like I went from being like, like this bikini girl on the beach in Hawaii to like, I have to be like, you know, like a nice young fairy for a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. And, you know, like, you know, be in this role of someone that they want to look up to that teaches them things. And so I found for me, it wasn't really a role of parenting, because whenever I tried to like be a parent, it just didn't feel right. So for me, it was like, how can I be their best friend, but like almost like an older sibling where you're like guiding them. And I found that for me, that role works the best for me. And I leave the parenting to him and to their mom to figure out. And I kind of just am like extra support.
I love that. And I love that way of being, right? Just because when we be in a role, that's kind of when the problems happen anyway, rather than just being a light, like this beautiful shining light that when you see say fairy, that's what I see. It's like we all wanted that growing up, didn't we? Well, I did, like fairy godmother or, you know.
Yeah, the fun one, right?
So, yeah, embodying that and having that reminder of that's what you are to your partner and to everyone is very beautiful.
Thank you.
What are your rituals to like keep your, you know, your sacred relationship?
So I think we practice so many different tools and teach them as well. So I think we do practice what we preach when it comes to, you know, variety of stuff. So I think, you know, what we've created is something called a Me, We, Be model. And what that means is there's kind of a 3 different ways how we operate on this earth. And, you know, there's the me, the individual self, which we are all responsible for. And so I think individually, if you think about yourself, you know, it's made up of your mental body, emotional body, physical body, and spiritual body. And so I think we both kind of go inward into our own corners and research and things that we then share with one another when something feels right. But I think a lot of this is really energetic more than intellectual. And so, you know, for me, like every morning I start on my own. I have a golden hour and then Fairy has it kind of later in the day with our schedules and times.
With a baby.
And with a baby. So we kind of always have, you know, that retrospective of being alone and being ourselves first, which is the me. And then kind of we go into the we, which is the collective consciousness, which is also then, you know, connected to other friends and families and whomever we're with. And essentially in the we, it's the level of relationships. We teach that in our sessions and experiences. Because without having an army of angels around you, how do you reflect the best of you and how can you reflect the best of others? And so that all again starts with you, right? Like loving yourself, understanding your self-worth and sharing if you don't feel worthy or scared, which we then come together to do that. So we can reflect, one another's thoughts and so that's the we, right? Collective. And then you've got supra collective, the B, which is almost like the, if you zoom out, right, from the individual self and collective self, there's so much more. We are so much more than we think. And that's the beingness. That's really going and diving into the sacred parts of this world. And so we kind of live based on this model in our life. We use these 8 points luscious lifestyle that we incorporate into every day. And essentially it's like daily, weekly, monthly blocks of how we navigate and operate life together. When something doesn't work, you know, life gives you an instant feedback, right? So there is a biofeedback that is constantly reflecting how aligned you are. And it might be reflected through your negative thoughts, emotions, relationships, maybe abundance, but anything and anywhere that is something that is not of your highest standards, that's where we look into. And I think most people, they quit when things get hard, and most people don't look into those hard things because it's a way to run away from them. But what we've learned is actually when we look into them and instantly and as soon as possible, and we bite through whatever the emotions we might be going through, then we're resolving that much faster and we're manifesting that much faster.
Yeah, like the triggers are like the transcendence, basically, the keys to the transcendence.
Yeah, because like 1 + 1 is not 2, it's exponential. And so there's nothing more that I'm actually learning through this relationship more powerful than unity with another, because that same unity with another person that you love can be then intersected. And also it can be then seen, the same love you have for the unity of all of us. And so I think it's so interesting to me how on the one hand, right, like relationships have a different forms with different people, but then on the other, that one sacred relationship that you really invest all your time and effort is what you're investing, not just for you, but it's the unity of all of us, you know, around us. And one really important tool, I think, that has been really interesting to watch is this process of unhooking. And it comes from really a female cycle and understanding for them that the male also have a cycle. And what we've learned is that we kind of dance in these, you know, cycles that we all go through, or hardships or whatever we call them, whenever things come to the surface, whenever we get the opportunity to face certain things. And so whenever she's low, I am high. Whenever I'm high, she is low. So it's so interesting how we always dance in this cycle of life. And essentially, you know, the whole cycle is about once a day, you spend at least an hour with yourself without anybody else. It is you in your thoughts, words, meditation, visualization, whatever practice you have. It's that time when you unhook from everyone and everything. Then once a week, it's a full day. Once a month, it's 4 days. And once a year, it's 10 days. And so what I found is when we dance in this cycle and we have this time off and on, it rebuilds, re-strengthens, and it brings this explosivity, right, from one another to come back in. And so that's been the dance of I think, intellectual versus intuitive ways of life.
That's very wise. Very, very wise. Because as you said, you know, like your energy, your collective energy that you're creating together really helps humanity. And then having this space and this distance, but also creating it and creating that for yourself and not losing yourself, it's almost like it gains more appreciation, it seems, for what you have, and loses the expectation. What a beautiful ritual. I love it. Did you say something to do with 8? Because 8's kind of like my number. But I feel like it's like a completion. It's very wise, really like grounded in wisdom.
Thank you. Yeah, no. So, and that's what we do. So in our retreats and workshops, we do everything from interactive learning, because what we've learned is, you know, talking and doing lectures can be beneficial, but we retain only such a small piece. And, you know, so many people come to us and they're scared to speak up and to create their groups and to have that power to be seen. But yet we have been, you know, put down by society time after time for not having the right resources, education and experience. But ultimately, people come to us because they want to learn from our experiences. And if there is a purpose of why we came here to Earth, I mean, we extract, right, from the oneness into the individual form through which we learn and exchange gifts from one another. So that way we can go back into oneness and recognize that, holy shit, like, why have we been so hard on each other if we are all here for each other? And so then, you know, every moment and every interception becomes a gift, a true gift of exchange. And then when we start seeing things and re-pattern the ways we look at things, all of a sudden, you know, even the hardest parts can become a gift and not be branded as a hard, you know, times anymore. And I think it's this time that we're rising into unity instead of polarity. Because, you know, when you look at relationships, you can learn through the gutter, through the fear, through the pain, through lack. And you can also learn through love and joy. And I never thought it was possible to learn from love until I met Ferry and until she showed me love that I reflect, that I didn't even see for my own self. And so thank you. And
oh, it's really sweet. I can see, because you are both like come across as very authentic and genuine sweet souls. And I love what you're saying around there's so many like teachers that are like giving someone like a formula or just like a lecture, but not going, hey, you're coming because I've learned these life experiences. I've transcended these life experiences and I'm going to be here. I'm going to witness. I'm going to hold space and we're going to create from this space because that's the most authentic thing to do. And that is true unity. That is, you know, I there is no ego in that. That's just truth. That's how I see it.
Yeah, I think that we often forget that like just being ourselves and our true essence is enough, is inspiring, is what someone else needs, unlocks the codes for someone else. And I think that's been a huge lesson, because at least for me, like on my journey, but just being and holding that frequency. And as a couple too, like, you know, when you were talking about like rituals and stuff, I think one of my favorite things that we do together is that we have the same mission. We're walking a very similar path. Yeah. So we get to do what we love with the person that we love. And I think that that amplifies so much more. And then people see, oh my gosh, I don't have to go to separate workplaces. You know, my family can be all integrated. Like when we do our events, we bring our kids, like my baby and like his kids are like all around. So it's like we have come together and like integrated this beautiful family. And now we can say, this is our way of doing it, you know? And so it's really sweet. And I feel like it really inspires people because they say, oh my gosh, you guys brought your baby. Oh my gosh, you guys brought your kids. And like the kids are like saging people. And it really just, it's so cute. It's so wholesome, right? And it's kind of repatterning this way of doing life separately. I remember I was talking to this woman one time. We're like very into dolphins for lots of reasons, but she basically saying that she had this interaction with a dolphin and the dolphin asked her like, where are your kids? Like, cause she could feel that she was a mother. And in nature, like animals don't like separate from their children, right? And so why have we like created this way of life where everything's separate, when really like the biggest life lessons happen when you're interacting with other people, figuring out how to make things work, you know, walking a path that means something of value for your life. I think those are the things that we need to be teaching our kids. And I just adore that we get to do that together. And that's something that he's taught me. Like, I was so scared to be a mom or a mom figure until I saw him be a dad. And I was like, oh my God, he still gets to do everything that he wants to do. It's like so much more fun because we bring the kids, and you just have this beautiful balance of, and way of full integration without compromise. It's like he's full on, like, like everything more. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, how do you have space for more? And somehow it's just everything is more, and it's beautiful.
It is very beautiful, as you said, because there's a society thing as like people going to work and they're doing a job that they hate, and the children are at school, which they don't like, learning things they don't need. And it's this all, like, as you said, separate society where people are just living insular rather than going, okay, why am I here? Who am I? And what do I want to do to serve the collective, right? And coming together through relationships as a greater purpose. I just think it's really beautiful. And yeah, like the mother and father archetype is, oh my gosh, there's so much wisdom there. And there's nothing to fear. And you're saying, like, hey, what, you haven't experienced that. You've embraced that and included. You know, children should be there. They should be at these events. They should be part of everything because they're the, you know, they're going to be leading the way. So I love that. It's like everyone should be included. Why wouldn't we?
Yeah, that's how they learn, right? And I think
it's how they learn. And that's the best teachers. You're like, you're the best teachers. This is like, I feel it's the old traditional way where we just all got lost. And it's for people like you guys to go, come on, you know, it can be, it doesn't, you can burn it all down and create something beautiful, even more beautiful than before.
Yeah, you know, and I think so many people struggle too, because there's so much deception. And I think we found it even in through like other different coaches or teachers courses. And it's so interesting because when it comes to our sacred sexuality, it's one of the, one of the most impacted chakras or energy centers that, you know, karmically, historically has been, you know, limited and purposely limited because of the powers that it holds, right? Like the sacred energy exchange, which is the true meaning of sex, by the way, sacred energy exchange. Yeah. We have that with everyone all the time that we get in contact with.
Yes.
But then you have this responsibility of like, how do we navigate this? And I think there's so much of the physical overstimulation in this world and addiction through that, which can be also alcohol, drugs. I mean, anything excessive is a disbalance in any of our, you know, centers. And I think for us, you know, it's so interesting. We had a really, awakening experience in Burning Man a couple of years ago, where we kind of got to see like the deception of how people are being led away from the truth, mm-hmm. away from love. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, there's two different ways how to like navigate relationships. And, you know, one, it's from the analytical mind, which bounds you into duality and has these highs and lows and ups and downs. And then the other one is the dance of love, right? The dance of just allowing things to unfold as they come. And with this, I've come across this beautiful, like a seven stage of love, of soulful love, that resonates with a lot of people, because especially if you are still in the polarity-based relationship, it kind of helps you understand where you're going. And essentially what it does is, you know, stage one is romance, butterflies, you know, excitement. Mm-hmm. And by the way, this can be used for anything. This can be used for a new job, new company, new yoga membership, because there's always that initial, you know, excitement, right? Something new. The second stage is commitment, which is, you know, girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife. You create a new LLC or you buy a new membership, right? There is a contractual basis of commitment. The third phase is a broken vase, which is you start seeing things that you didn't see at the beginning. You know, it could be like, you act just like your mother, or you are just like your father. Like, how come that this yoga studio has no showers, no bathrooms? How do I go to work after? Right. So you start seeing things that you didn't see in the first phase. Now, these first three stages, you know, think about it. This is a lot about me centric ways of relationships. And a lot of this still involves victimhood as to looking outwards to what that person is doing instead of looking inwards. The fourth stage is still the same way. And I'll sing this. Should I stay or should I go? And this I call the ordeal. Amen. And, you know, this is the long dragging highs and lows. I love you. I hate you. This is, a great company, an underfunded company. It's this ping pong, so to speak, or tennis match of highs and lows and good days and bad days. And sometimes this can last 25 years. You know, sometimes an attorney can be an attorney for that long because of security, or same thing, you know, because of kids. We stay in a marriage for so long. But when you've had enough, you move into the fifth stage, and this is when it collapses. This is where you either make it or you break it. And most people get divorced. Most people quit their membership, and or it allows you to step into the higher realms of existence. And that is the sixth stage, surrender. Now, when you surrender, it is no more about what you're doing. It's the responsibility comes into place. You start understanding your powers, your involvements, and you start having a deep reflection of a mirror in front of you to start figuring out, okay, what part am I playing in this? You start forgiving, you start accepting, you start talking in ways of, you know, hey, we've fought enough and I am ready to let it go. I'm ready to move into a different, experience. And then the seventh stage is true love. And this is where it unfolds. It keeps on growing and unfolding into something, you know, even more beautiful than we even imagine. And that's what I continue saying about our relationship is like, I am at awe all the time how much better it can get. And I think even our life, when we aligned our life into our unified vision, you know, I don't think neither one of us believed that life can really get that great. And all of the pain and suffering and everything that we went through, it literally just disappeared. And I mean, this didn't disappear. We worked through it, but these seven stages are really lovely for somebody to identify, you know, where am I today? How do I move on? What are the steps that I take before I blame another? And then when the time feels right, how do I speak to that other to be able to move past it?
I love that. I love that dance of co-creation. And you going through your own divorce, do you believe, again, it's just to find in someone that aligns with you that you can do that with rather than staying somewhere that you shouldn't?
Yeah, it's really challenging and difficult, especially in those times when you have children. And I think this is why, you know, I knew I was done about 4 years before I actually was done. And it was so dysfunctional on so many levels. So we were completely opposite, like a different people. And I don't know, you know, it happens, right? So we can learn and we can understand what we want. So you can't ever judge it, right? Yeah. Because without that experience, I wouldn't know who that I like really like her, right? Because I had this great lesson. And I think, you know, it ultimately is, does it work? The question I would ask, not today that I ask, is does it work or does it not work? You know, if the answer is doesn't work, then you got to either change it or move away from it, because there is nothing worse than living in toxicity of your thoughts and emotions, because then it reflects in your physical and also in your bank account. That was one of the things that I noticed, is it's all connected with our feedback that we receive from the life. And then the other question is, what would love do now? You know, it's a question that I like to ask when I don't know what to do next. And instead of giving answers, it's really more important to question than anything.
I love that. And listen to yourself. And as you said, even if you're around individuals and going through that, it's coming back to love, right? So then something else is reflected back to you. And as you said, in them seven stages, that's exactly how you do that. Creating responsibility, understanding you've been part of this creation, and then being able to then bring that higher level of consciousness into your next relationship, which is beautiful. It really is. Is there anything else that you would, you know, say to other couples?
I think that when we like reflect on what our biggest strengths are that I think make us successful, I think the main one, or the main two, is willingness to like be open and like be open to different perspectives and being open to growth. Because I feel like if you're not in a relationship where you can grow, and then your partner also isn't open to different versions of you and changing, then I think that either one person's holding themselves back or the other person's, I don't know, it creates a really big friction, because both people need to have the freedom to develop into the persons that they need to be. And yeah, when I reflect on like what my favorite things about you are and the favorite things about us are, it's that there's a wild support from each of us and motivation to constantly be a better version of ourselves, but to also like take the other person along with us. Like if we see that one of us is like struggling, it's this really soft nudge of like reminder. Like I think something I really appreciate about you is like you hold like a really beautiful space, but you're also very like motivated. So it's not like a competition, and it's not like we're like, oh, like we're always having to grow. Right. But it's like when we see those next steps in life, it's kind of like that nudge where like, you know, if you're standing at a rock, like trying to jump into the ocean, you're like, come on, you got this. Like you can do it. Like you can take the jump. Right. In like a sweet way. That's like, yeah, that's a fun adventure. Like we'll do it together, you know? And it's, yeah. And I think, like I said too, the willingness to be open when someone comes to you and say, hey, actually, I know we talked about going on this path for a long time, but actually truth is I'm feeling this way, and like not being able to be scared to say your truth and then be accepted in your truth. Even when it's hard, a hard conversation to have, I think knowing that you're coming to a person that ultimately, like if you are having an argument or a hard conversation, at the end of it, the goal is to resolve and to figure out how to become close, then you know, even when things get a little rough with the other person, that like the intention, the higher purpose of the conversation is always to like loop back around and come together. I feel very safe in our relationship knowing that these are the kind of values that we have when things are shifting.
I can feel the safety and the groundedness and the flow and the harmony, like from this, between you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I can. It's so nice.
I think so many people procrastinate, and I think it's also like one thing is who you are as a person, right? Like if you still need to do a lot of work, right? Like that's really important, because then it gives you the right tool set to be able to navigate relationships. Because like for me, and I think maybe a lot of men have the talking issue, you know, like anytime I have to go and talk about my emotions, I'm like, ah, no, that time again, I don't want to.
And I'm like, don't you always feel better when you get it out?
And I'm like, no, again. So I think... you know, we make changes really quickly and we adapt extremely quickly, which is what makes us not ever be stagnant. And I think so many people think about things way too much. And then that's why, like, it's really at the end of the day, the level of toxic mind that we have curated up until today, because, you know, if there is one enemy of today's world, it is our monkey brain. And it's like, the levels of how much you trust you give to your self-talk or self-doubt or deceit or fear or anything that it's talking about is what will reflect of how your feelings go, as well as how you will feel yourself being perceptive by others. And so this is why, like, it's so crucial that we, you know, cleanse our mind and we understand our thoughts and don't give them too much power, which a lot of times we do beautiful meditation, breath work exercises together. So that way we can let go of the mind. And then it kind of goes deeper and deeper and deeper from there. And that's, you know, a fun exploration, right? That can lead into a lot of fun in other ways as well.
Oh, I love that. And I love the, what you're saying is, if you can't sit and be with you and be with your thoughts and you not judge them, then you're going to not be able to do that with someone else. And there's this purification process that you're talking of that I feel. And I love the unity and togetherness of like the deeper stuff, you know, oh my gosh, intimacy gets better because I can do this and we can see and witness one another. Then we can do our breath work. And then it gets even more, oh my gosh, amazing, and more connected because we're losing ourselves and going into a different, whatever you want to call that, but connectedness. But I just, it's so beautiful. And it's what, it, you know, relationships, like when I see this, I'm like, oh, yes. Rather than, as you said, you were touching on the sex and the it being sacred and the dark side of spiritual, or some of the spiritual teachings around like Burning Man, which I've never been, but, you know, and going, no, this is not for us. We are in a sacred unionship and we're going to be there for one another and keep going deeper within our own relationship with each other, with self, and serving. I think it's very beautiful.
Yeah. And what's interesting too, is like, it always goes further and further because it's kind of like when you, this is a bad example, but when you extract from your physical form, a lot of people that have had near death experiences, right? All they feel is just love and like just immense love. And I think that acknowledges that it just goes that much more because that's our birth given right to be, you know, we're meant to experience love. We're meant to be joyous. We're meant to experience it with others. And this is what the privilege of being on earth is. And, you know, when we have done deep ceremonies, in the past, it's funny. We always met in that same, you know, cohesive place, even under, you know, different medicines at that time. And for both of us, what came to us is that the privilege of actually being in a physical form, of not being lost in the psychedelic world of things, because it's the embodiment of love that we get to share here on earth. And this is why, like, so much of our work now is very grounded without any medicines. We kind of went back into breath, into basics, into the given right of who we are as these powerful beings that have this immense love inside of each and every one of us. And so that to me is the ecstasy. That to me is what the most powerful ways to live, you know, here on earth.
I love this because, yeah, I know what you're talking about with that pureness and that oneness of them experiences, which no other psychedelic experience, I believe, comes close. Not like I've done it once and been like, this is not for me, but so I'm very much on a purist, and I know that resonates with you guys from your home birth and my home birth, which, you know, my brain released DMT. I had visions. I always have visions, but, you know, I remember at that time that embodiment and being in my body and feeling every single thing woke me up in the most amazing way. And I love the story of how, you know, you did that together. And I am for the purest way and that grounding in the body, because it's been very healing for me. I didn't want to go out and get drunk after that. Didn't want to drink after that. Just didn't. I wanted to feel. If I felt embarrassed or I felt a little bit anxious around someone, I was like, okay, that's telling me something. I don't need to have a drink. So everything shifted. And I think that's the power. Power and purification.
Yeah, I think exactly what you're saying too is like, and I'm not saying that if you go to the hospital, birth is bad. I'm not saying that at all. You know, you should do what you feel safe to do. But I feel like he was talking about before, is that our like sacral energy center has been like stolen and our birthright has been put into a system. And when you are given different things, it kind of, there's an orchestra that happens when you give birth that's perfectly designed by nature. And so when you start to interfere with the orchestra, things can happen. And I'm not saying this is everyone. I am saying that the empowerment that you felt, the empowerment that I felt with my home birth, that power is like what has been taken away from humanity, that we need to bring back that empowerment. And by saying, I'm going to educate myself on how I want my experience to be, is like, it's the fundamental of life. And you are starting a new life with that theory. Instead of saying, oh, I'm going to take what comes at me. No, I'm going to empower myself to begin this life out of the system. This life is going to start empowered. And there's a strength in that. There's a freedom in that. It's really beautiful.
It's so beautiful. As you said, it's like, as you said, there's no right or wrong in how people give birth, but it's being able to listen to your intuition and know what is right rather than people telling you and taking that from you and stuff being done to you rather than you being in that natural state of flow and intuition and claiming the power, because there is power in pain, in feeling your emotions. There's power in all these things. Which is just so beautiful. And, you know, to have that experience, you two together, and to know how much that brought you together as well. And I think Pav, you was like the one building fairy up to do that. And for a man to do that as well, that's just absolutely amazing, isn't it? It's you know, to have that conscious awareness for the soul to come into the world. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, I think it was another one of those moments where like he could see that like I was ready to step into that. And I was like, you know, falling back onto the system of what's been ingrained into us. And he was like, no. Yeah. I'm going to hold you to this, you know, this frequency, because I know that's you. And, you know, throughout the whole thing, he was like such an instrumental part of it. I feel like it was the holy like Trinity. It was like the father, the mother, and the baby. And it was, everybody had their roles. Like, you know, I feel like for me, like getting intimate in early labor literally like accelerated everything. Like that's how it started. And like, that's how we were going to finish it. Right. And throughout the whole dance of labor, like I didn't, you know, when you're in labor, you're not really in a place to talk and, you know, tell someone what to do, but he could see the way that my body was moving, because he knows when we're intimate, you know, how my body moves, where he needs to touch, how to ease the system of mine. And so it was really beautiful because we danced, you know, mother, father, and baby, because the baby also births with you. You know, the baby does 8 different cardinal movements in the pelvis to literally like get out. So it was this really sacred union that, you know, for me, my labor ended up being 3 hours and 55 minutes. And I completely attribute it to being connected with nature, to being connected with my partner, and to being connected with our baby. Because
the dolphins.
Yeah. And the dolphins. But I felt very safe
the dolphins.
To surrender.
It's with
and
dolphins.
Open. Yes.
We swam with the dolphins.
Wow.
It was one of the biggest calling why we were actually in a dolphin bay. And so it was really crazy. Like we never named our child. It was named by all these people that kept on seeing pixies around us. Sorry. And then, we never decided where we're going to have the child until I went to dark room and I talked about being called to dolphins. And then this lady in dark room tells me, a midwife in Hawaii, that is connected with dolphins, right? So then we got to
We did more research on it, and dolphins are super conscious beings. They say that they might even be more conscious than humans, the way that they communicate telepathically and the clicks and stuff that they have with the sonar. They say that other instances that pregnant women have had with dolphins, they're able to like circle the body, and they use the clicks to help relax the body, and then like telepathically like speak with the baby. They call them nature's midwives. And so when I started researching this, I was like, that's the only way I want to give birth. Like, if I'm going to do it, that's how I'm going to do it. So we just kept following that like intuition and that path. And yeah, it led us right where we needed to be. And I literally attribute, I just had like the most beautiful, peaceful birth. And I attribute it to all these things. Like, it was all in perfect alignment for my body to just be a portal between the two spaces.
And I think also what was crazy was we were chanting for like hour and a half straight, and like just naturally chanting and chanting and chanting. And we got into such a transient zones. It was like, yeah, we were high on, I don't know, everything.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Our midwife, she had like sound bowls. So it was like a proper ceremony. Like, mm-hmm, we had asked her to, unless she needed to intervene, to just kind of like observe and just monitor. Right. And it was a ceremony, and then we got to like dance within the ceremony, and then, yeah.
And I got to deliver the baby.
Yeah, he was the first person to touch her and bring her to my chest. So it was like this really sacred moment between all of us that I will, yeah, forever be so grateful for.
So beautiful, and wow, like that's how it, you know, it's like a fairy tale, like, you know, it's, that's the only way to describe it. It's a beautiful, I don't think I've ever heard like of such a beautiful birth. Like, how gorgeous.
Well, and you know, just to, you know, say this, like, that's the standard that every woman should have, right? And I think that's what's really important to emphasize, is that we literally have to reverse engineer of all that we've ever been told or said. Because it's so fucked up, like, to what point that it has gone, you know?
It's trauma. Like, most births are trauma.
Yeah, and you were saying with your birth, like, your body was releasing these, like, beautiful things that helped you realign completely. Like, for women, this is, like, the most spiritual, like, catalyst that we're able to have in our life. And the way that you explained it is perfect. It just recalibrated you and realigned you perfectly.
Oh, I love it. I think I just think it was amazing. Like, Azaria was born in her sack, and you know, that whole experience of me doing it myself. I had a beautiful midwife that she was so gentle and sweet and very quick, like you, and just that surrender and that trust and going through that process is the biggest spiritual awakening. Like, having children are the biggest spiritual awakening. Like, all these things which are kind of being made to fear, and as you said, process driven, and taking us away from really connecting to our bodies, ourselves, what is right, what is wrong, because we're used to it, or we've been told through film and media it should be done to us.
You just walk in and you give your power away.
Yeah. We just thought, oh, this is it. This is my life. I'm just walking around giving my power away, because that's what we have to do to be accepted. But I love it. I love, because I've never heard another experience that I think, oh, I know, like the dolphins and the sound healing and all of this. I suppose for me, a lot of that came after that in a deeper way. And I just think, oh, wow. I actually want to go and swim with dolphins now. You've really inspired me. But
oh my
God,
they're incredible.
Yeah, thank you. I love it. Like, I'm just, but it just shows you how connected you are and how connected your union is, and how that you're going to inspire many other couples and people to create this and to create this in humanity. And this is real love, right? Like, unconditional love.
Yeah. And I think that I mean, there's no like limit to that. There's just continual openings and where you want to explore. Love is limitless.
How worthy do you feel of your own love? Like that's the only question is like, you know, how much of a blocks you're going to put on and constraints on your own self-worth to love is the only limit to love.
Yeah. How hard are you going to love? How deep are you going to jump in?
I love it. I just think it's what a beautiful example you guys are. And I love the work that you're doing, the events that you're creating. I hope one day I can come and be a part of them. And I just love it. I had this strong vision around creating events on Valentine's Day. As you know, it's my birthday, around love. And then you guys are already doing it. And I love it. So
you're really our Aquarius sister.
To meet you guys. Yeah. I'm another Aquarius. I'm like, yeah, it's fun. Everything like, should be fun. Because even when I go to retreats, I'm like, oh no, they haven't got it right. There's no fun here. Everyone's like, right, we're here to do the work. No, you're not. You're here to have fun. That's the work. But oh no, somehow we missed that bit. It's like, okay. Oh, I'm in the wrong place. Bye. Off I go.
I'm gonna run away now.
In my fairyland, literally. But oh well. Okay. Because it is. That's the highest vibration of it all. We get to that high vibration and then everything is easy, right? And it's not that complicated. But somehow, as you said, intellectualizing it all, playing roles like the victim and all the rest of it that we do and it happens, stops us from, you know, being human and loving it all.
Yeah, totally.
Thank you, my loves. Thank you. And thank you. Anything you want to say, like last year?
No, we're so happy and grateful to have this time with you. And thank you so much for what you do in the world, because having a portal of education brings inspiration and motivation for others to rise. And so we see you in all of your beauty and in all of your power. And if anybody wants to come see us, we do about 100 events a year all across the world. And it's a big piece of what we're doing. And also we can gift our on-demand library. We can add it to the links where people can do live recordings. Some are partners, some are personal, and kind of all the different things we talked about. We have about 80 hours of recording that people can take from their home. And what would you say?
Yeah, and for me, I think after, you know, I had this spiritual experience with our home birth, I felt very called to putting together a list of resources that I went to and learned from when I was pregnant and in such a vulnerable state that I wanted to put together for other people that are looking to have that kind of experience. The more that we can bring in this new kind of life, the better the collective and the better the future is. So on my Instagram, under my link tree, there's just a free birthing resources page for anybody that wants to learn how to empower themselves through such a big, exciting experience that can seem a little bit overwhelming when you're in it. But I think with a little guidance, it's very doable.
I agree. And, you know, just one person that's had a positive birth, you're more likely to have a positive birth. So just even them finding you and, you know, seeing how you did it, it's such a gift to the world. So how beautiful is that?
Thank you
guys. Thank you for your beautiful, rounded, like loving energy you bring, and I'm very honored to share this space with you, and I can't wait to be at one of your events. I'm coming. I'll share it, and yeah, super excited.
Thank you so much.
Have a lovely day.